By the way, we have to understand what's going on and what's working around us today. When you see the battles that are before us today, when you see the concept of people fighting and arguing, and you see the bickering going on, even with our very own government that's supposed to have some shred of civility that's there, do you see that at all? When you're watching some news, when you're watching our politics, even in our country, do you see any civility? Or do you see a lot of hatred and anger that's taking place? I've never seen a leader of a country being so vilified and so hated, just one after another. And I think about that and I go, do you think this is a battle between one party or another? Or is there something else going on when you see that kind of attitude? Where does that come from? And so say these are kind of game plans that are taking place even right now within our own country that we need to have some insight and discernment as to what's happening. Because what people don't realize is simply how they're being manipulated. By what? By a great power that sometimes we underestimate as well. Sometimes we understand the forces that we battle against. And if we don't understand that and think that you can stand up to this by yourself, then we're being manipulated as well. We have to see and watch what's going around us. That's why it says in Luke, watch and pray always that you can escape the things that will come, because they're coming. Could you imagine back in World War II when you had the Jewish people over in Germany living their lives and things were kind of getting rough around them? But one day somebody came and knocked on their door and took them onto a train and took them to a concentration camp. Just like that, their lives changed forever. In fact, many of those just died. The expectation of what was going to take place. And we know, by the way, that this is going to get worse. There's a force out there that hates. That's one of the attributes. And I'd like to go through some of those places because we are witnesses. Many are here. We're witnesses to the travesties that took place even within God's church. I remember coming into God's church. I thought everything, this is great. Everything is going to go wonderful. This is God's church. Everything is going to go smooth because we know the truth. Never thought the hardest of our trials would come from within. Not from without. We can certainly watch them, but you know, many individuals who God called into his precious truth have fallen away. Many of your friends, the minister who baptized me, gone. There were, I thought there was a conviction there. I called it my family back in Detroit. We were close. We did things together. It seemed like we loved each other, fellowship together every Saturday night. I remember as a part of the singles group back then, what are we doing tonight? So the Sabbath didn't end for us. Many times it would go to 2 a.m. I remember ice fishing at 2 a.m. and eating fresh fish and eggs at 2 a.m. At that time, I could handle that. At teen camp, things had changed. You know, there are a lot bedtime for me was 9:00. I can't even believe I'm saying that. I just go, you're all doing this. I'm tuckered. I'm going to bed. I never thought that would happen. But it's there. Many of you can experience that or feel that way. It changes. But back then, what are we doing? Where are we going? What are we going to do together? And most, I would say 90 plus, maybe 95% of those people are gone. And you probably experienced the same things in your church areas as big as they were. Who would have thought that? And then you think, well, we're getting on back on track again. Hey, this is great. Preaching the truth. Last for 5-6 years. Kaboom! It blows up again. And there were some footprints that I saw within those different blow-ups. Did you see those too? Did you see what was behind the first one? Do you see the adversary? Do you understand what happened there? The manipulation that took place? What really occurred? Who was behind it? I think we know. The next one, the same thing. I identified some things within these different things that we went through. I identified anger. There was lots of anger. Now, maybe you and I were mad about that. Certainly, I was not happy, as I didn't feel like I could do anything about it. It blew up in front of my face. I was not happy about that. But I was not angry to the point of vilifying people. I could certainly address the issues. That's not true. Whether the cover-ups would be there or not, you had opportunities to see things for yourself in different papers that were written sometimes and evaluate it for yourself. Sometimes it was difficult to see unless you prayed for that discernment. And now all the ministers were asking the people, you need to pray for discernment to see the things that are taking place and evaluate it on that and see where the footprint was. There was anger. There was lying. And I saw, thank you, God, for making it so evident to see that so clearly. And instead of putting all that on anybody else, I saw the adversary who was behind it, and it's not done. It's not over with. There's someone out there that wants you to quit, to say, that's it. I'm done. It's over with. That's it. Perfect. Just perfect. I could say, facetiously, go ahead and quit. Go ahead. What happens? He that quits at the end will be saved. Absolutely not. So we start to understand endurance a little bit more. This is not over. How about the parable of the sower and the seed? As we look upon that. As we look and see the different seeds that are sown and the different trials that come up along the way, I think as we go through these things, it really impresses in our mind what Jesus Christ was talking about there and then what we need to do about it. How about many are called, but few are chosen? Did you ever look at that years ago and wonder about that? Why are many called, but few are chosen? He that endures to the end are the chosen. You have to endure. Not many people endure. Many are called. God sends that calling out to a lot of people. Many people don't accept it, or they fall by the wayside. And we had thousands upon thousands of people that fell away. And I'm telling you now, I believe God's sending out a warning shot to his people. It's on the horizon. It's getting worse. How do I know that? Turn on the TV. We're not in Ozzie and Harriet times anymore. We're in Ozzie and Ozzie times. And Harriet times. Things that are repugnant and repulsive. And they're getting worse. And a lot of people are just floating with the times. Things are still going good. Okay. Still looking forward to that new car. Still looking forward here. And we got the feast going out there. Things are pretty good. But we are poised for a fall. And a quick one. We've got to be aware and be ready for this. So God's people, even the church, has been divided into a variety of different camps. It's weakened our ability to preach the gospel, even though we still do it. So let's look at the 12th chapter of Daniel. I thought about this some time ago, and I think we're more there than we even realize now. The 12th chapter of Daniel, as we've always read these prophecies, in Revelation or the prophets, minor prophets, right before our eyes, we're going to see more of these things unfold and we're going to be going, oh, so that's it. Things that we didn't understand but are now before us. How could that happen? We question even, don't we, the question of the mark of the beast. We saw this, the mark of the beast. What's the mark of the beast? Some feel they know what the mark of the beast is. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. Because now you can implant a chip, can't you? They got a chip you could put in your hand. You could put it anywhere. You could, says in your forehead, says in your hand. Is that possible now? It sure is. You know, we've come a long way, even with payments. It was great at camp this year. Most of the people paid online. I didn't have to deal with checks. I love it. That's great. It takes away the paperwork. We're getting to the point next of getting electronic signatures that we won't have any paperwork. That would be wonderful. We're in this time, in this time to where, you know, probably paper money will be a thing of the past. Checks will be a thing of the past. You'll just go up where maybe they'll scan something. How do you know if you're receiving the mark of the beast? Is it wrong to put a chip in your hand of itself? Well, no. Who says that? Would you want to do it? I personally wouldn't want to do it. But what happens? I can give you a little highlight here. Here's all you'll know. It's the mark of the beast. Because it will cause you to sin. Won't it? Isn't that how God will reject us? It causes us to sin. And so it'll be evident for the people that have discernment and are watching. So you don't have to worry. You'll see it. It'll be evident right before your eyes as these times unfold. But they're certainly, they lie ahead of us. Verse 1, at that time, Michael will stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the children of your people. That's encouraging. That tells us we know that there's an angelic realm out there. But did you know that that angelic realm fights and has spiritual battles? The Bible reveals certain things about those spiritual battles that they even go through. Do you remember in the book of Daniel itself? There was a message that was attempting to be sent to Daniel, and he said that, but the angel, Satan, resisted him. And he had to call upon stronger forces to help him. They have battle. That shows they've got battles. For some reason, God allows that, even within the spiritual forces. Certain things are allowed right now. So we get little tastes of those things. But there's going to be a time of trouble such as never transpired since there was a nation up to that time. And that time, your people will be delivered, everyone who's found written in the book. That's encouraging, too, to be called and to know that when you and I endure, when we fight the battles, when you get up every morning and say, I'm going to try it again, I'm going to try it again, I'm going to think about what you say, try to implement that, and that becomes your life. More than things, more than stuff, what's most important in our life. Then he says, you're written in the book. All those things aren't going to matter anyway, because they're going to come to nothing. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth will awaken, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. There's going to be a judgment period. So this signifies not just one element of time, but a larger time. Some to everlasting life. What about the ones that are resurrected to everlasting life? That's the first resurrection, isn't it? Then it says, and to some to shame and everlasting contempt, they're going to have to repent, but they will be judged, won't they? So when you and I are repulsed at some of the decisions made by certain leaders, when they clap and everybody claps together, when a decision is made that you can now abort a full-time fetus or for a full-time child. Oh yeah, all right, this is great. We're looking at it. You and I are looking at it, go, this is insanity. Okay, let me ask you, who's behind it? Who's really to blame? You know who it is. It's not that person or that person. They're just being manipulated. That's how this powerful being works. Some to shame and everlasting contempt. There will be a judgment period. They won't get away with what they do. What you think they seem to get away with. Verse 3, it says, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the firmament. Those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Maybe it's something that you share that you don't even know that you've done. It could be by your example. Something that you said with God's Spirit working within us. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many will run to and fro and knowledge will increase. I've got one of those right here. It's frustrating, but maybe it lasts for 3 years and you got to get a new one because it's all upgraded. It's all updated. You can't use the old software, or you get updates now and it throws your other computer into a tizzy. So there's more. It keeps getting smaller. You know, years ago, by the way, for those that will maybe remember this, do you remember there was a comic strip in the newspaper? It was Dick Tracy. Do you remember Dick Tracy? Dick Tracy had a watch, and he could say, calling all cars, you know, or communicate with that on a watch. My wife's got one of those now. She can take phone calls. She can communicate on a watch, on a watch. Do you think knowledge is being increased? More than ever? It's hard to keep up with technology. You know, I noticed going into Walmart and the Lowe's and the Home Depot, they have everything for everything. Everything is out there. Sometimes you would have to concoct or fix something. No, they've got it made. You know, we used to have to build go-karts out of people that had thrown away old lawnmowers, and those wheels were valuable to us. If you could find an old lawnmower that maybe the motor blew on it, so they threw the whole thing out, you're going, wheels, wheels. And so you take nails and screws and fasten them to 2x4s. And if you could find maybe a seat or something, or fashion one of your, you'd have a go-kart. You'd make a go-kart. Your steering might have been a rope that you steered with that. And I kind of feel, I never thought I would feel archaic with that. But those days are long gone, aren't they? Now you can just go get one. You go get one at Walmart. It's all built. It's all done for you. And they keep coming out with new stuff all the time. You see all the trucks to and fro, the constant hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of trucks going this way and that way. We had talked about that because there's a comedian that talked about that. He saw, say you're on I-26 and you see logs going this way. And then you saw a truck with logs going that way. And you're kind of looking and go, can't they kind of get together so the logs don't have to go that way? You can keep the logs over here. We'll sell you those logs. And you see the things that we buy. You know, why do I need grapes from Chile? Don't we have grapes in the United States? So we get them from there, and then we send them over there. What's going on here? And you can see, are we in this time? Sure seems to be. To and fro. Is there ever more to and fro that you see now? Just look at Asheville. The junction of I-40 and I-26. And that's just one. How do we keep up with the fuel? How do people get gas constantly in their cars? Where's all that coming from? Fascinating how the to and fro. It's gonna get more because they're building wider lanes. Do you think they'll be able to keep up with the wider lanes? When the population has doubled, I think since the 70s somewhere, the population's doubled. Verse 5, it says, Daniel looked, there stood two others, one on this riverbank, the other on that riverbank. One said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, how long will the fulfillment of these wonders be? Then I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, swore by him who lives forever, there will be for a times and a half of time, 3.5 years as we understand it, and when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, that all of these things will be accomplished. Now, once again, we look back just in our history. Has the power been shattered? Yeah, it has. We used to be 150,000. If he kept going, we'd have huge numbers. But that power was shattered. So now we're spread around with all these different groups. But yet there's the power of the internet that messages keep spreading. But you know what I'm seeing? I'm seeing forces out there that want to shut down anything that speaks of God, that speaks of a creation, that wants to crush anything. And our nation has been opened up to all these other peoples that don't believe the same thing that we do, that don't believe in Jesus Christ. And it's spreading to places back where I used to live. I go, wow, I never knew that would be a complete changeover to another total religion that does not believe in Jesus Christ. And it's coming in more and more and more. A leader in Los Angeles said, we're at a crisis point in their own city, and many just won't acknowledge it. They're trying to get rid of rat poison in LA because they don't want to hurt the rats. And so they want them to go ahead and spread diseases like the bubonic plague at the expense of kindness to rats. That's where the mentality is. Do you see the insanity? Do you think that's people, or do you think that they've been influenced by a higher power? We're seeing the destruction of this society and of a people by a power that hates, that wants to see the destruction of all mankind. So if we, indeed we are now in or at the time of the fulfillment of this prophecy, what are we as God's church expected to do? Do we try to prevent the scattering? Is this fighting against the will and the word of God? Do we accept the possibility that this is just the time of the fulfillment, so we just go our own way? Are our eyes being sharpened around us to see what's going on? My job is to watch. Messages are being given. And I listen very closely. We've had some very, very good messages, I think, from the speakers that we've got in these areas. Mercy. Do we think about that? Do we think about how that applies? Or is it just another message that we go along our way? We got stuff to do tomorrow. Got the garden to do. I've got this over here. Or is this something that we're thinking about? On it? Is this something that we wake up to? This better be in our minds on a daily basis, not just on the Sabbath day. We better be watching what's going on around us. We better have the discernment and understanding and have it written in our heart so we won't forget it. Isaiah 53 verse 6, I'll just quote this. You can write this down. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one of us to his own way. Isn't that what we've done? That we've done that as churches, haven't we? Go our own way. Got this one over here, that one over here. Some say that we're the only ones here. Whenever I see that, by the way, we're the only ones, that tells me that they're not. When somebody says, we have all, you come here because we have all the truth, I'll tell you right now, we don't have all the truth. So you want somebody that has all the truth? Good luck finding it. I don't think everybody does have all the truth. We're still learning and growing in the Word of God. God still will open up our minds to more understanding because there is a world of information out there that mankind can't even figure out. You know, I've got one of those I showed Mr. and Mrs. Baker this morning as I said, I need you to see this. Probably some of you probably saw the woman laying on the soccer field. Maybe I can show that next week. And it takes off from her eyes going up into the sky, and it goes, and it goes, and it goes, and it goes. Our little world, you can't see anymore. Finally, it leaves the whole entire Milky Way, and you got another nebula, and another one. And that's the farthest they can go. All they can say is this thing keeps going. But then it turns around, and it comes back in. Comes back in, goes right into her eye, shows the iris and the pupil, and then other things which I can't even name. It keeps going. It shows the DNA particles, shows the protons and the neutrons. It keeps going. And I remember years ago, I remember they called the smartest particle, that the smallest one that they could find at the time, was called the God, they called it the God particle. Now, as soon as they did that, here's what I'm thinking. You know, there's a song, it's a rock and roll song. It's called "You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet." And you know what? To me, God's going, keep going, keep going, keep going. So you've got, so thinking this out in logic, you've got the God particle, but it's a particle, and isn't a particle made up of particles? That's what they found in the DNA strands. So the more they keep going with the stronger photography, they keep finding more. As they can go inside that particle, they found more particles. God goes, keep going, keep going. How far can it keep going? Well, look at the other way. How far can the universe keep going? We can't even fathom that. So who can even fathom the thinking of God and what he does? You know, when it says his mercy endures forever, how can you even understand that? You can grab onto a concept of God's mercy, but can you really understand God's mercy? Can you really understand God's love, how deep that love is as human beings? It's hard to comprehend. It just is incredible. The more that you find out about God and see how great he is, watching his creation and all the things that we learn, even through the photography and those that watch planet Earth, they keep going deeper. Though nothing could live down there. Well, they get something that goes down there and they find out creatures that they never knew existed. They see this boiling water coming out of the water way down, the earth's venting, so hot that nothing could live in there. And they find organisms that live in there. How do you do that? So we keep asking, God, how do you do that? One day we'll find out. If we endure, one day we'll find out. But is there something that we can gain and learn at this time to better prepare us? because there's a wealth of education, understanding, and wisdom to be learned, not only by reading and studying the testimonies of the Bible, but examining our modern day. Bring it up to today. This is where it's at. Those aren't just old stories. They're today. They're there for us so we can learn and see how they operated. And now we're just in different shoes rather than sandals, but experiencing the same thing. So what we're going to do for the next two Sabbaths is understand the way that this adversary operates so we can be more on guard. Because if you think you understand, if you think that you understand how powerful this being is and you really get it, then we're still falling short. This is a very powerful being that we cannot take for granted and just think that you can withstand it. Because without God's help, you can't. Because there are spiritual forces that can't stand up to that unless they have more spiritual help. In Ephesians 6 verse 10, we're not going to go through the equipment, which obviously is so necessary as well. But here, Paul was very sincere about understanding the battle that the people were going to have to fight. And he's saying this is not one that you can just put on spiritual or physical equipment. There was an analogy here so that they would understand. So it says, verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So once again, it's not physical. It's not you just understanding, well, I've got to be strong, so I'm going to gird my loins. I think I'm ready for this. Oh, do you think so? He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Then he explained it. For we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness and the heavenly places. But you know, we get confronted by emails and by news all the time that these physical things are happening. Yes, they are. And it's going to get worse and worse. But do you see the footprint? Do you have the discernment to see the footprint? Because that's what that's all about. Only God can come and stop that. He was allowing it now in so many people. He says, this is the one that deceives the entire world. So while it's profitable to review the analogy of the armor, it's also profitable to understand how he works. What are his operations? What are his traits, his attributes? And that way you can define it. Huh, I just spotted a lie. I just spotted this. That tells me something, because that's not of God. How does he operate? What's his game plan? Let's read the admonition of the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5. Look what he says here, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. And this is where I see God allowing this to be a little bit more open now. I think for this, only that as I'm watching, and you can watch the same, you've got minds as well to watch and see what's going on. But did it seem like he kind of held back for whatever his purpose is? I've come to the conclusion that I think, is really what it amounts to is the church making herself ready. And then Christ returns. Then all these things will unfold. But if the church is not ready, then how could the end time be ushered in? So I've always questioned, is it we that are holding it back? How does the church make herself ready? Can you do it by yourself? No. Well, who's the head of the church? Jesus Christ. The church makes herself ready. So Jesus Christ will ensure that the church is ready. And it will be. And if someone in the church, even at this time, wants to just lollygag around and just come and not make any changes in their life and not get serious about this, at this time when God's sending the warning shot, I'm warning you right now, the time is near. Are we just going to go on with life and the cares of this world and all just things? Oh, it's going to be okay. Yeah, we're how many trillion into debt, but we're okay. So if you as a family were, say, I don't know how you could compare that to the debt, I think that it was estimated. If you were in debt, say of $60,000 right now, how would you look at that? What if there was no bailout? No, because now every 7 years you can just do a bankruptcy, right? So, and get rid of your debt. But some of the debt you can't. From what I understand, student loans, unless somebody dies, you got to pay the student loans. So how does a student come out, as I heard this before on Dave Ramsey was talking on his radio program about finances. He was talking to somebody that she was somewhere near $100,000 in debt. And she had gone from this field of study to that field of study, not knowing really where she wanted to go, just took student loans. He goes, well, how much in debt are you? $100,000. What's your field? Culinary arts. You're going to have to be Chef Boyardee to pay off $100,000 of student loan debt. These people get in a spot to where, how do you get out of $100,000? Your work is going to be simply paying off your debt probably for the rest of your life. But life goes on, doesn't it? Life goes on with people. Just put it on the card, and our government does that now. So can anybody comprehend $23 trillion? It's incomprehensible how much that is. But, you know, we're okay. You know, how some people talk about leaving that to our grandkids. What are they going to do with it? How are you going to pay for that debt? Yeah, we're in trouble. It just is a matter of something happening for all the cards to fall. And that's very easy for God to hold that together till his church is prepared and then say, there it is. Just one small thing to happen triggers everything to fall. And this world is weak. Somebody says, oh, just watch sometimes how the stock market is. That's all you got to do is send a little fear into that. Well, I don't know. We've done this to China. All of a sudden, bam, the stock market was bam. Because it just sowed a little bit of doubt into people. Well, then they start, then all of a sudden, no, I think it's going to go. Watch how that triggers in the future as well. And here we're just simply watching it. So what do you do? You know, you do the best and ask God for discernment, ask God for wisdom. I don't believe in burying it. I don't believe in putting money under your mattress. But what do we do? You simply do the best that you can and just don't trust in riches. Don't put your trust in that, God says. So we're watching all these things around us. And he's saying in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he's devouring a lot of people today. So the walk is getting more intense. I can see that. You can feel that around you. You can see what's going on. Things aren't getting better. They're getting worse. Now, I don't want to be going around going, oh, woe is me. God's people ought to be living the fullest in their lives with what's he. We're looking forward to a Feast of Tabernacles together, a wonderful time. But what's it for? To even be more focused, to enjoy the all that God's given us to enjoy, but also to get more focused and watch what's happening. He says in verse 9, resist him steadfast in the faith and understand that the same sufferings and afflictions are experienced by your brethren around the world. I would encourage you, if you haven't seen the In Accords, watch the In Accords. When they go over to our brethren over in Africa, and Mr. Horchak visited these four gals. Did you see the four women? The one that's blind, she can't see. I think the other one's a paraplegic. And you know, she gets to services and goes 4 kilometers every Sabbath with her hands. I don't know how any of us could complain about going to Sabbath services. And yet sometimes what I see around us, well, you know, I'm a little bit tired. I'm just a little bit tired, so I think I'll just stick back. How about being tired tomorrow or tired on Friday and telling your boss, I'm not coming into work today because you're telling your creator, I'm too tired to come and worship you today. See, that's where the mentality goes. And is there ever a time, as I mentioned before, that the Sabbath is not a holy commanded assembly? You better have a really good reason for this, or God's going to say, this person is not taking it seriously. I'm going to go find someone who does. Why did you not have a wedding garment on? I thought I could just come. I was a member of the church. I thought I could just be there because everybody else was doing the gospel. I was contributing my tithes and offerings. He'll say, I never knew you. You never changed. You never desired to change. You wanted to go on and never change in your life so you experience the same hole of your life because nothing would change. And so God says, you know what he can do? Look at the camp experience. Mr. Evans, I don't know if I can catch the ball. Yeah, you can. Don't say you can't. Yes, you can. So from a young age, we're teaching our children, yes, they can. You can change. You can do this. It might start out with the smallest catch of a football for someone to be shocked and go, I can do this. And I can do other things as well. Some of the hardest things in our life as we come through as God's brethren is to change the old habits that we've got locked into. And once we say we can't do it, then God will say, I'm going to go find somebody that says they can, that has a hard time, but I need to find serious people in order for his church to be prepared. And we see these afflictions by people that are going through a lot worse things than we do. Their major thing during the day is to go find food or provide food for the people around them. So what are we resisting? How can we study how Satan operates? You know, the scriptures talk about his wiles. His wiles. Do you remember Wile E. Coyote? I still look back at that, and so I don't know if everybody here has watched The Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote. It was almost like you would kind of get bored with it because you knew that Wile E. Coyote was never going to do it. I mean, was there ever a completion to it? I don't think there was. Because Wile E. Coyote would come up something in order to trap the Roadrunner, and then he would do something and go along his way, and then something would hit him in the head, or he'd go off of the cliff. Remember, he would run off of the cliff and go, there it goes again. He'd go, and it'd take about 10 seconds for him to go down, and then you'd see this little cloud of smoke at the bottom go like that. And that's how his wiles would always end. He was just never smart enough to do it. But you know, the same thing was, this one that we fight is not like the coyote. This one's smart, powerful, and he knows what he's doing. The only thing that stops it is God saying, you can only go so far. That's the farthest you can go. He allowed Satan to come into the Garden of Eden. He allowed Satan to get through to the people so that his son would be crucified. That was Satan. It wasn't the Romans or the Jews. Was Satan influencing all that? So let's take a look at some of these wiles. We'll start out with the first one, and I'll finish this next week, because I'd really like us to evaluate and look at these principles this week and analyze around you. What do you see? What are you watching? How does this apply in my life? Am I being deceived? For some reason, I think a lot of God's people are being deceived. Why? Because we got writing right in front of us, and we're not reading it. Either from this, or we're reading man's instructions book, and we're just ignoring it. Well, this contains this and this and this. When I look through this and this, it contains propylene glycol. Propylene glycol. And I'm kind of going, I remember reading that on my antifreeze. So they put that in food. Well, propylene got, well, a little bit here won't hurt me. Well, how come God's people are suffering so much then? How come we got all these things? How come we got the cancers? How come we got the sicknesses that are affecting us? Because we think we can just go along and not change anything. But I really like that though. You know, I mean, I think that Coke does add life. Really? Then this first point, we're no better than Eve, who was deceived. He uses deception. He looks at pretty packages, and I watch the way he works. I watch, and sometimes I just crack up because I go, this is so evident. Because now, just want to let the women, I probably let you know this, but I'm going to repeat it. You can look now, whatever age you're at, you can look like Cindy Crawford. Just like her. She's got the soft skin. I think she's probably in her 60s now or so, and you can look just like her. Because now they found an ingredient that's only found in the melon patches of France. And that's where you're going to get your solution. And the women are kind of going, oh, and he got a doctor. I'll guarantee he's not a doctor. They just put a white coat on you. So go, oh, this guy's got to be smart. Look it, we got melons in France. And we're bringing them over here, and we're extrapolating. And now we got all this, and that's all you got to do is put it on you, and you look just like Cindy Crawford. Wow. And every 5, every 2, every 5, every 10 years, now I'm not saying that some things can be good, okay? I'm just watching the deception of how many people are just, oh, look at this, melons from France. You can't get them here. It only can come from the soil of France. And so for a while there, let's go 10 years back. Do you remember Melaleuca? Melaleuca would solve anything. This is going to solve all your problems. And they can only find it in Australia, the Melaleuca tree. And now people are raving over Melaleuca. Put it here, put it over there. And that's going to be the solution to all of your problems. Just do Melaleuca. And there's one after the other that will come on the scene by some kind of plant or tree that's located in some far reaches of the earth. That's not going to, now going to solve all your problems. And I shake my head and go, look how he works. And I look at the bottles of shampoos or whatever. And you know what the first ingredient they put on? Very impressive. They put low, L-E-A-U. Very impressive. That's the French name for water. Wow. Interesting. Low. Why don't they just put water? Because low sounds more impressive. You got low on there. And then you got all the other ingredients. Sodium hyper, that kind of minolate. Sodium trioxaphygonuria. This and this and this. And go, oh, it must be good. The bottle looks good. And I think it's from France or something or some other country. So I'm going to take that and just go rub it in my hair. And I believe from understanding the way that science works, the skin is the biggest organ in your body, absorbs chemicals. But hey, don't listen to me. It's probably okay, right? Just don't read it because it's got low. At least it's got low. And maybe you got something on down there in the scene. It's got maybe some kind of cucumber extract. Well, there you go. At least we got cucumber in there. Forget about the rest of the stuff. You know, and all these things that are going on. I've seen the arguments both ways with all of it. I looked and go, look at the deceptions out there. All the toxic chemicals that are in there. And what's being worn and put on. And people are just going on and go, well, it must be okay. Are there solutions out there? Sure there are. We've had a book of solutions for a while. I've not seen it in a bit, but we have had those written down to go, by the way, I would love to do that because nobody's going to push anything on anybody. But what we can do is wake up and see the way that Satan is working and maybe make some constant changes in our life to watch what we're taking in and what we're eating and what we're ingesting, both spiritual and physical. The deception is there. Revelation 12, beginning in verse 9, the Apostle John knew this. The Apostle John wrote in Revelation 12, verse 9, so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, was cast to the earth. His angels were cast out with him. Now, you can review again the incident in the Garden of Eden. I like to bring that up to today, because as we've learned in the past, here we go back to the tree again. What was so evident in the tree? Because Satan's, you know, how did Eve say, how do you have a tree to be desired to make one wise? How would you look at that and go, huh, that looks like a tree to be desired to make one wise. I never went up to a pine tree or to a maple tree. Maple tree would be good. The sap, great stuff. Huh, the maple tree. That looks to me, doesn't that look like a tree to be made one wise? How do you do that? So what do you think? What do you think, using some extrapolation or some discernment? What happened? There was more information given, wasn't there? It's just not written down. You get the ultimate, that, you know, Satan goes, hey, take this, it'll make you. But there was conversation. Not all of it's recorded. But you can tell from what she said that more information was given, because how do you get a tree that looks like it's made to be one wise? The information was given by Satan. He enticed her. He deceived her. He said, did God say that? God said that? No, that's not correct. What are you getting around you today? Even in our own United States, God's saying, there it is. But that's not true. Other people are going, that's not true. You see this beautiful creation? We're going to call it something else. We're going to call it evolved. Really? And you and I look at this and go, that evolved? This evolved. That's like saying, guess what? The next one that come out, that evolved just by itself. That's been used before, but nobody thinks of it from the human element about what God did. The second one is temptation. Maybe I'll only get through two. Matthew chapter 4, let's take a look at verse 3. Now God calls him, he identifies Satan by these names, by the way. So they're accurate from the scriptural standpoint. The deceiver, the one that deceives the whole world, deception, that's one of his wiles. The second one is temptation. Matthew chapter 4, let's take a look at this, at how Satan worked. And why the identifier here. Let me ask you first, did Jesus Christ need to be baptized? Did he need to be baptized? That's kind of a yes and no. So you'd be right, probably both. No, he didn't need to be baptized from the point that he never sinned. So there was nothing ever for the Father to forgive, correct? When you're baptized, it represents the old man. He never had an old man. Never had it. So, but he went through that. Why? For our example. This is what you do. So he always set the example for us. So now when you see how this works, maybe we can look at Matthew 4 a little bit differently. So he's led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Yeah, I would suppose after 40 days and 40 nights, you would be hungry. Now who was Jesus? Who was Jesus? Was he just a man? Or was he referred to as the Son of God? Do you think that Jesus knew who he was at this time? I'm pretty sure he did. Understood he did. He was prepared now to start building his church and do other things as well. When the tempter came, now this is how the tempter. So we see an identifying factor here. The tempter came to him. He said, now look what he says. If you're the Son of God, what if somebody would come up to you and say, if you're Eric, now do you think that would kind of go, I never thought about that before, frankly. And I'm pretty sure I'll have to go back and look back at my birth certificate, but I'm pretty sure I know who I am. I think so anyway. Could anybody really cause you to doubt who you are? So you know what happens? He doesn't even address it, does he? Doesn't even say anything. If you're the Son of God, you're going to be going, if I'm the Son of God, if I am, and he keeps rattling it one after the other. Let's go here. He says, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Oh, he was hungry. And I keep thinking here, you know, if you're going to go ahead and blow it, why not do it on steaks? You know, bread, are you kidding me? I'm putting down a sirloin steak dinner here, marinated with all the trimmings. Why go just for the bread? But he goes for the bread, doesn't he? He goes, if you're command that these stones be made of bread. Now, some people think, because he was so hungry, they was going, you know, hang on there. I got to think about this. Let me think about this. You know, should I do this? Or did he know who he did? And by the way, I think he kind of knew this being, didn't he? Didn't he know this being? He's like, I kind of remember him because I'm the one who made him. I'm the one that created him. He was the creator of all things. But you know what he answered? Where we should answer. Look at the examples here. How do you answer? He simply went back to that old Testament. And he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And I thought after that and go, you know, he would think that he quoted that. And here's just by the way, I kind of wrote that. So I'm just quoting what I wrote. So he takes them up, so that one's done. Do you think that was any kind of temptation at all that Christ was going, oh man, I'm really hungry. You know, you got something going here. I don't think so. He answered, okay, then the devil took him up to the holy city, set him up on the pinnacle and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself, once again, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it's written, he shall give you his angels charge concerning you, and in their hands they will bear you up lest you dash your foot against a stone. Here's Jesus Christ himself kind of going, you know something? Once again, I remember that. I wrote that. And not only that, but I know what it means. And you're doing what's called twisting scripture. And you think he didn't know that? And so look how he answers them. He didn't answer, you know, that's so foolish, Satan. Jesus Christ didn't mince words. He just says, it's written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. That was the end. That was it. Done. There's no question here. So he took him up to an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory and said, all these things will I give to you if you will fall down and worship me. And when he said, oh my, this is a tough one. But I forgot, or you forgot, that back in Daniel, the lesson that Nebuchadnezzar learned, that it's God who rules in the kingdoms of men and gives it to whom he will. So sometimes we think, oh yeah, Satan rebelled, and so God threw him down to this earth and go, here, it's all yours. Do you think that's the kind of reward God would give? I'm going to give you rulership over all these nations. And so what does he rule? Only the people that yield to him. That's it. And so, yeah, most of these nations yield to him now. So that's why it says in the future, these kingdoms have now become the kingdoms of God, because now he will rule. But they're not Satan, only those who yield to him. God didn't say, by the way, see you later, I'm going on vacation here. You do what you need to do until I come back. He sees everything that's going on. He hasn't yielded to who he puts in place at different times. That was the biggest thing that Nebuchadnezzar learned, that it's God who rules in the kingdoms of men. So how do we put these scriptures together? This was a no-brainer for Jesus Christ. We had a guarantee from the foundation of the world that Jesus Christ, because man couldn't do it, so it took the Son of God, and he was God in the flesh, and in James it says he cannot be tempted with sin. He can't. Because that's the character that's locked inside of him. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a Savior foreordained from the... So he couldn't even think to lust after a woman. It wouldn't go that way. And the only way that I can put it in physical terms is sometimes I knew, for instance, when there was a spelling test in elementary school, I was a good speller. So give me a spelling test. They give the spelling test, and of course you would even know the words. You'd have to study the words. I was going to ace that test. This is just no brainer. I know how to write the words. I can even do it slowly to make sure I've got that down. And I was going to ace the test. Could have been a math test. I know I'm going to ace that. Jesus Christ, why did he do that then? To show the way that Satan works. And that we can resist him, but only by the power of God. And he had the power of God and yielded to his Father. That's the Savior that we've got. But this was the tempter. It's to identify how the tempter works. Now, do we have any testimonies, you and I, in our life? Were we ever tempted? I can think of times when temptations. Sometimes we've succumbed to the temptations. You know, I probably shouldn't do this. Sometimes it goes back, some of the guys can probably remember jokes, whether it's ones that maybe we told but probably shouldn't have told. Because I know how this is prefaced now. I know how to answer this. If someone says, you know, I probably shouldn't say this, I'm going to go, then don't say it. Because if you think you probably shouldn't say it, you probably shouldn't say it. So don't say it. Okay, you just resist it now. There's always some good material out there that you can stay away from that I probably shouldn't say these. But we learn and we grow, don't we? So the next one becomes stronger. We resist because God gives us the strength. And we, you know, some people are tempted in different ways, with different foods. Some will say, well, he's never going to get rid of that. I don't want to ever get rid of that. I like my McDonald's burgers or whatever it is. I could never do away with my French fries. Really? Okay. Then you might have to really suffer for that too, if that's the kind of food that you're eating and taking into your body. I've got a good idea. We can lay it out. I know Mr. Dean, because he works on engines. I got a really good idea. We're going to put green bean juice in the fuel now, Because I know most of us pour off our green bean juice out of the can and we waste it. Just put it into the car. If it's good for us, it could be good for the car. Try that one, right? And yet people don't think when we ingest foods that aren't made to be eaten, or all these other things that are being corrupted now, we talk about GMOs and talk about other things. See the way the world works. Anytime man tries to change or fix something, we got drought-resistant tomatoes. Oh, wow! I wonder how good they are for you. You know, just looking at it and standing back with man adjusting that, I bet. I possibly could be wrong, but I'm pretty accurate. When man starts to mess with something that God made, it's probably not going to be as good. Where's my evidence? You can't find a parking spot in your hospitals now because all the rooms are filled. Every hospital that you go to is packed. Why? The deceiver has worked pretty good, hasn't he? If it's not one way he's going to destroy, it's another way he's going to destroy. And all on the fundamentals of God's laws and God's ways. Okay, I'll finish with this one, the third one. Accusation. To accuse is to charge without fault, to indict, or to blame. Now let's see Revelation chapter 12. Revelation 12, we went there, but it was just a statement in verse 9, the one that deceives the whole world. In Revelation 12, verse 10, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And I love this scripture because I try to look at this and discern where we're at today. And I'll go to this a lot because I want us to be reminded of this. Because there are certain things where I feel and believe the church is there. Because it speaks here, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. I believe everyone here knows this. You take the Passover seriously. We have to be forgiven of our sins. You acknowledge the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and we take it seriously. When we come before God at that time, you realize you're forgiven of sin and even healed because of his stripes. That attempted to be the doubt, again, the way he works there, we'll see that next week. But by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. Now we can just look through these words or we can try to understand what they mean. They overcame him by the word of their testimony. What's your testimony? Is it your testimony, the way that you lived your life? The way that you believed, and therefore you follow through. I believe in the Sabbath day to keep it holy, so I keep the Sabbath day. And I do the best to keep it holy. I believe in this one over here, and I attempt to live that by the way we live our life. Let your yes be yes, and your no be no. I was excited about that, because I knew I couldn't go before a judge. And they adjusted that later on, but they're going to make me say, you know, I swear. And I go, I can't do that. So I would talk to the bailiff. He goes, well, I'll say, can you affirm? I go, yeah, I can do affirm. I'll do the best of my ability to tell the truth, but I cannot swear by it. And we took that seriously. That's what it said. So we changed that. You change something else. You change something else by our testimony. You believe what God said and you did it. Now here's the third one. Now, I believe we all believe that. Pretty sure we do. There's a little bit of things that we still have to deal with in our lives by saying, you can't say I can't do it. Not when it says all things are possible through Christ who strengthens me. But you get to this third one here. It says they didn't love their lives to the death. What is that for you and me? That is an entire mindset change. That's the one where you have the example of Peter that said, I'll lay my life down for you. You can be so excited to think you're going to do this. But God, Christ was so merciful. He goes, Peter, here's what's going to happen. You're going to deny me. And Peter was beside, no way, no way. And it hit him really hard. You know something? Christ told Peter, when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. And that's exactly what he did. But it was only through the power of Spirit. So all the weaknesses that we might have, the ones that have hung on, the more difficult ones, all those can be overcome by the power of Almighty God. But you've got to acknowledge it. We have to see the discernment of the way that Satan works. He wants to put deception, the accusation, to make you feel like you're nothing. And yeah, in one way we think, you know, without God, I am nothing. I'm the old burned out piece of hunk of junk that we used to hear. Verse 12, it says, therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. Do you see that now? I hope you do. I see this more and more and more and more. I've seen a wonderful country that I grew up in. Wow, the things that we went through, my generation never saw a war. I didn't experience Vietnam. That was horrible. The things that happened to those people before that horrible experience. I got peacetime. I've known nothing mostly but peace in my life. So I've had a wonderful experience. I've counted the blessings over this nation gives. Sometimes when people travel overseas, they'll come back and go, this is great. It's nice over there, but here we've been so blessed, and yet all these blessings are caving in on us. You see all the women being just taking the tattoos. It's not just that by itself, it's a mentality. It's a whole culture switch and changeover because Satan hates us. Anybody that stands for God or for Jesus Christ, he hates. And you're going to see that hatred come to fruition as God lets Satan come in and do his work, and it's going to get really bad. But let me tell you something. There's good news in this. He says, it's okay. You got to allow this to happen, but you, he'll take care of. There's no, all the testimonies before us. As remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They got to the point, even in their lives, doesn't matter what you do. No, you can kill us now. God may allow this to happen to us, but it doesn't even matter. Because the focus was so much on God and what he could do. I would love to be at that point. Do what you want. You know, you're going to do what you want anyway. Go ahead. As Christ said, just make it quick. Go for it, because in our next split second, we're into the real thing. And now it's our turn. Can you not wait till it's our turn? Do you want to change this? Do you want to stop the deception? Everything else for 1,000 years. Can't wait for this to happen. So next week we'll go a little bit more and finish this, because there's much more to this than meets the eye. But I hope that we understand that this just does not belong to the principle of bearing false witness when it does with all these. When Satan accuses us before God, many of the accusations are true. But you know, when God comes before you, you got nothing to say. He's been forgiven. Well, he did it of what? I don't even remember that. Our sins, he says, he casts as far as east as from the west, and it says he remembers them no more. Talk about an extent of God's mercy. You remember, we still remember them. You know, a good prayer is, help me forget that, all that garbage and all that junk. Help me to remember the good things. See, you know why? This is pretty sobering, and it is. But you know, one of the fruits of God's Spirit? Fruits of God's Spirit is not folding your hands, laying down to die, going all depressing. Fruits of God's Spirit is not depression. That's why when all this happened, even within the last week, Knoxville still got together and had our picnic. And we smiled because we know how God works. We know how God takes care of us. We know how God loves us. You can't get any better than that, can you? We just have to understand and be serious about our calling, so we know the adversary that are fighting is powerful. And all the testimonies are there for us on what to do and how to resist him. Don't think you can't do it. With God's help, we can do it. We can resist and we can overcome, and we will do it with God's help.